From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, the farthest north salmon fishery is another success. Lots of kings made it all the way to Canada also. And a lot of pinks in Kodiak, but not so much in southeast. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
And by
Commercial Fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
The commercial fishing season around Kotzebue came to a close a week ago Friday, and while both the chum salmon run and the payout to fishermen pales in comparison to the very, very good success they had last year, the fishermen at Alaska's northernmost salmon fishery still have plenty of reason to smile.
Right now we're a little over 300,000 harvested, and this was the third best harvest in over 25 years in the Kotzebue fishery.
Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Jim Menard was in Kotzebue checking in on the small commercial fishery just 26 miles north of the Arctic Circle. He says this year's run pales in comparison to last year's, when a harvest of more than 600,000 fish brought in nearly $2.9 million in payout.
Last year was a once-in-a-generation thing. It was either the greatest all-time run or second greatest all-time run. It just kept coming and coming, and the strength of that run was amazing. And you had three buyers there buying as much as they could. That was just an incredible season.
But this season, Kotzebue had just one buyer, Copper River Seafoods. A single buyer has meant less capacity, even though more permits were fished this year than last. The buying bottleneck got to the point where Copper River put fishermen on 1,500-pound limits. In the end, only 29 days were fished after the start of the season on July 12th. Still, Menard says this year's run ranks within the top 10 for the Kotzebue fisheries' 54-year history, makes for a strong payout, too, even in the face of falling salmon prices.
Definitely throughout the state, it was a big drop in price all over for the value of salmon. The price started out this year at 37 cents a pound and later dropped to 27 cents a pound. The value right now is a little bit over $800,000.
Despite Copper River Seafoods closing up shop, there may be one final pulse of sales for Kotzebue fishermen. Regional nonprofit Manilik may buy some more salmon before the season formally closes on Monday. Despite a below-average overall run, the Yukon River king salmon population had the highest number of Chinooks make it across the border toward their Canadian spawning grounds in 10 years. The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that about 83,000 fish went across the border this year. An international treaty mandates that at least 42,500 Chinooks must get to Canada, but Alaska fishery managers have only managed that goal in two of the past 4 years. Between 118,000 and 140,000 Chinooks were projected to enter the Yukon this year. Alaska Department of Fish and Game officials say it took severe Chinook salmon restrictions to get most of that run to Canada. A steady stream of fall chum salmon are being caught by fishermen along the lower Yukon, but many upriver are just now beginning to get their subsistence needs met. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game estimates just over 542,000 fall chum have passed into the river so far this year. That comes as the second large pulse of fish started their migration just the other week. The large pulse is keeping commercial fishermen busy in the lower river, but Jeff Estensen, the fall season manager on the Yukon for Fish and Game, says those fish are being managed with an eye to meet the needs of subsistence fishermen farther upstream.
We are watching this next group of fish that will be coming in, and this is also going to be the group of fish that we'll see a lot of the subsistence fishermen upriver looking at to take subsistence harvest out of. And so we just kind of take that into account when we're making decisions on when the pulses are coming in and trying to make decisions on how this pulse is going to be utilized all the way up to the Canadian border.
During a recent teleconference with Yukon River stakeholders organized by the nonprofit Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association, Lower River commercial fishermen in regions Y1 and Y2 bickered over length and timing of openings, but upriver fishermen say they're still fishing for their own freezer.
You guys complain on Y1 and Y2 fishing. We are subsistence fishing for wild chum is down last 2 years, 60%. This year we only got about 5% wild chum so far. So quit complaining about commercial fishing and subsistence fishing.
Drift netters in Kotlik say they caught 80 fish in an hour, 200 in a night, and results were similar in Russian Mission and all the way up to Nulato. The fall chum season is also giving way to silvers. Fish and Game estimates about 67,000 cohos in the river so far this year, a number that will grow through the next month as the fishing season winds down. A longtime Pacific Northwest journalist and recently retired editor of Pacific Fishing magazine has crossed the bar into the great unknown. Don McManaman, age 65, passed away just a couple of weeks ago. Mr. McManaman was from Oregon and reported for the Bellingham Herald and Tri-Cities Herald before becoming editor of the Tillamook Lighthouse Herald. Until his retirement last year, Mr. McManaman was the editor of Pacific Fishing, a magazine dedicated to commercial fishing on the West Coast and Alaska. Friends and colleagues remember him for his deft editing and sense of humor. He also had what is considered by some to be the best last name in journalism. Mr. McManaman is survived by his mother, two sisters, and a stepdaughter. We here at the Alaska Fisheries Report wish you smooth sailing, Don. You're listening to the Alaska Fisheries Report. Hear the show online anytime at kmxt.org.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Kodiak Area Native Association's Tobacco Prevention and Education Program. CANA believes everyone has the right to breathe smoke-free air. More information is available at 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
And by
Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Kodiak area fishermen are still pulling in nets boiling with pink salmon. Fish and Game's figures for Monday and Tuesday's harvests again showed over a million humpies landed each day. Those pushed the Kodiak season harvest to near 27 million, which is far more than Fish and Game's preseason forecast. Fishery managers expected harvests of about 7.4 million hatchery pinks and 6.9 million natural run pinks. With statewide sockeye salmon returning in smaller numbers than projected, the larger than projected pink runs around Kodiak and in Prince William Sound have salvaged preseason total salmon harvest projections. The preseason expectation for reds was 58.7 million, but the statewide harvest total is about 52.6 million and is not expected to get much larger. Kodiak area red salmon catches have been around 20,000 a day for the last couple of weeks, but have taken a dive to below 10,000 per day since last weekend. The season total is just over 2.5 million. Silvers and dogs are still being caught in the thousands, with about 6,000 chum and 4,000 coho caught each day earlier this week. Season total harvests around Kodiak have silvers at over 254,000 and chum around 700,000. Five tardy king salmon were delivered Monday and five more on Tuesday, bringing the season catch of the big fish to 6,967. Meanwhile, Southeast Alaska's commercial pink salmon catch has reached 25 million by the third week of August, which is well short of the preseason forecast and nowhere near the record-setting run from 2 years ago. While pink returns elsewhere in the state have been strong, Southeast pink numbers this summer have fishery managers scratching their heads. Dan Gray is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Regional Salmon Management Coordinator.
The preseason forecast was 58 million, and we're right now looking at about 30 to 36 if things kind of keep tapering the way they are. In that range of about 50% of the preseason forecast.
This year's fish are the offspring of a record-setting return in 2013, a year that saw a catch of 95 million. The purse seine fleet, which targets pink salmon for most of the summer season, has been totaling around 2 million pinks during the two-day openings in mid-August. Those totals have been dropping since peak catches of around 3 million at the beginning of the month. Gray says he's heard some of the fleet is already done for the season. Some cannery workers in Petersburg are also starting to leave town to go home or on to other jobs. Catches in the northern part of Southeast have been near average, while in the southern panhandle, pink numbers have been disappointing. Gray thinks the southern catches could wind up historically low.
South End is on track to be maybe the second or third worst we've seen in quite a while. We are looking at probably a harvest of a little over 8 million, and that would be since 1980, second or third worst.
Fishery managers had forecast a strong run because of high numbers of out-migrating juvenile salmon last year. Gray notes that the other areas of Alaska are seeing good runs. He says the timing of this summer's run was also a surprise. The 2 days on, 2 days off fishing schedule for the seine fleet in Southeast may be shortened to one-day openings in some parts of the panhandle. Pink salmon seining is likely to continue for a couple more weeks.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
After this summer's one and only opening for king salmon, many Southeast commercial trawlers have found something else to do instead of fishing for coho or chum. King fishing was open for 8 days in July, and the fleet landed just over 165,000 Chinook during that time. Patty Scannis is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's troll management biologist for Southeast. She says the effort in the troll fishery since that king salmon opening is at historically low levels.
We looked all the way back to 1980 and compared the number of permits fished each week this year compared to the past. This is the lowest on record going all the way back to 1980. And that's related strongly to the price. The price per pound is also very low.
Trawlers who did stick with the summer fishery are normally targeting coho or chum. The average troll caught coho price this summer is 88 cents a pound, a little over half of the long-term average. Fleet numbers were higher during the first and only king opening in July, however. Scannis thinks many trawlers since then opted to do something else.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvests for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
And that's all for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. Thanks to Kayla DeRoche for sitting in while I was away. We had help with the show this week from KNOM's Matthew Smith in Nome and KFSK's Joe Picnicki in Petersburg. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.